yeah, I understand all the negatives that happens in baseball. We're losing a lot of games. I may not be playing well, and then I'm getting this on from my parent or from my dad or whatever it is. And so it's just like, how can we figure these things out? And so that was like a tough conversation just with me and my dad, because we're so close. And it got to me where it's like, I know he's trying to help me. He wants the best for me. I want the best for myself. But there's ways where I just need that positivity, because that drives you so much. If you can just take days positive, add them on, because, you know, in this game, once you're done playing, it's over. Like, you still got your platform and everything. So you got to make the most of each and every day. And so you got to really just kind of make those positives, keep adding them up as much as you can, because that's something that I do after every game, is like write down my three gratitudes and three wins each and every day, whether we have a game or not, just to know that this, hopefully the sun rises tomorrow and have a new day, but you had a great day today and just enjoy it.
Where did that come from?
I was just going to ask that. That was like my
In my life heard someone of your age. I've got three daughters, the oldest one being 23. So I've been around your generation a lot, and I've not heard someone speak so fluently and beautifully about capturing the daily moments. Like, that was impressive. What taught you? Who taught you that?
It just kind
of
was always...
I had a list of three bars he was going through after every game. That was the only list he would make.
Sick hat.
Yeah,
what company is that? I've seen
City Brim Co. I think it came from like a company from Dallas that did it upside down, and then they got it. The guy from Texas made Kansas City once, and then I started wearing Patrick Warren off the flight and going to the Super Bowl. So that was kind of cool.
You and Pat are tight, huh?
Getting there, closer and closer. Yeah. So he'll text me, ask me how I'm doing and stuff. So it's pretty cool to, I still get geeked out every time I see Patrick Mahomes text message from him. So it's pretty cool.
So what a cool situation too, because like, you're a young dude, you get a nice contract, you get paid a bunch of money. With that, there's some pressures that come along with that, as there's pressures for everyone, you know, throughout their career, whether first year, second year, you know, whatever it is you're trying to live up to. But to be able to lean on a guy like Pat, and I think you guys work out in the offseason, right?
Yeah, I've missed him just because they've been going pretty deep in the playoffs and winning Super Bowl, so I never really crossed paths with him. But
just to be able to lean on him and get some advice and like just be able to reach out and say, hey, man, you know, how do I go about this? One of the coolest things was I was a giant Yankee fan, and when I read something about Jeter reaching out to Eli Manning when he first got drafted, just being like, there's anything you need, just hit me up. So that, and the whole entire Kansas City, like the celebrities out there, the people that are from Kansas City, mm-hmm. It's so like, it's such a family like atmosphere, even when they go home. But like, so when we won in 2015, I got to go to the Jimmy Fallon show, and Paul Rudd literally was living in New York City, just stopped into the studio and just sat with me in my green room. Made sure everything was good, everything was smooth, and like everyone took care of me and all that. Then like I'm out in Moose's charity event in San Diego or in Malibu, and Rob Riggle's out there. And it was the first year I signed with San Diego. He runs up to me, gives me a big hug. He goes, "You made a grown man cry, Haas. You made a grown man cry." But why I'm fired up for you, man, is I'm always gonna have ties to Kansas City. When you win somewhere, even when you go and when we lost, you're like, we're connected with that fan base. And to me, that intimacy is only kind of possible in a small market. You know what I mean? The big time guys, they're used to winning, like the Yankees, Red Sox, they're used to all that. But there's something about it. And even when those big time guys go back to Kansas City, it's like they can just let loose and be themselves and hang. So that's what I'm excited for you for, man, is you don't have to live up to anything. You just got to go be yourself, be Bobby Witt Jr. and they're going to support you, man. They are going to support you. The only time they'll get on you is if they feel like your effort's not there.
Yeah.
And that's something that you got to be fired up for, right?
Yeah, that's definitely like a reason why that's why I wanted to make this place my home, because I'm from Texas, born and raised in Texas. But when I go out to Kansas City, it feels like home. And mm-hmm. So when I'm there, centrally located, easy travel, but just the fans, the people there, you know how it is. They're amazing. And then just seeing what they're doing with the Chiefs. So got to change that and make that blue.
Yes, dude. We started it. It was 2014. We went and lost. 15, 16, I think, is when they got Mahomes. And I mean, they've been title town ever since.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Your parents, your family get to make it out a lot?
Yeah. Yeah, they come out quite a bit. And so it's pretty cool. Just even like fans coming up to them and be like, hey, your son's awesome. Like those type of things are really cool, special just to hear. And so it's, I actually got to go to the, after the Super Bowl last year here, to the post party, whatever it was. And all the fans were like, it was way better than in 15 in blue and everything. So
yes,
definitely motivation to see what they're doing over there. But like you said, with Mahomes, not only just being able to kind of talk to him and stuff, but just him being a role model to me, just doing what he's doing from Texas and just pretty much changing the culture of Kansas City and just who he is, both on and off the field, and just a leader.
Stud on and off the field. Yeah. And real quick before, because I know Sue was about to drop some fire on us. Speaking of Super Bowl, you brought this up.
Yeah.
Dude, you signed a big contract 2 days before the Super Bowl, working a suite for the boys one time.
I saw your tweet.
You missed a golden opportunity.
I'm
in Vegas. I'm coming through. Let's go.
Yeah, I choked on that one.
Yeah. But
Salvi went. He said it was awesome.
I bet, man.
I heard it was crazy out there, though.
Dude, that was Vegas first Super one Bowl out there. I mean, I feel like Vegas is going to host like once every like third year.
Yeah, they have to.
It's perfect for everything.
Yeah, I heard it was awesome. Just the vibe in Vegas during that Super Bowl. Like, my question was, what is something in particular that you have learned from Mahomes as your relationship is built?
I think it's just like, he's always himself. He's never going to try to go out and be Tom Brady. He's not going to go out and try to be someone else. He's just Patrick Mahomes. He's going out there both on and off the field, just leading by example. Yeah, he's pretty vocal, like from the film you see on him, but he's also just doing it. He's racking up the accolades. He's winning not only regular season, but in the postseason. He gets to the postseason, he wins. Like, this team they had this year wasn't supposed to win the Super Bowl, and they get in the playoffs, and you're like, look at this guy. It's Mahomes' game. He's going to win this and that. So it just shows me, like, if I can just go out there, like you were saying earlier, be Bobby Witt Jr., do my work, prepare each and every day, hopefully I can kind of follow his footsteps in some ways.
Is there anything he has said to you specifically or in particular that you'll never forget?
Just kind of, there was one thing, I think it was last Super Bowl, it wasn't to me, but it was out in the like social media world. He was talking about, who do you think the best shortstop is? And he mentioned me. So just gives me motivation to try to be the best shortstop I can possibly be, just from him saying that, just really trusting me. And just, he's also my boss in a way too, which is kind of funny.
Showing you the way business was too.
No doubt. Yeah.
I was telling somebody the other day, we were talking about Mahomes, and my son is about 18 months now. And I'm like, Mahomes to my son is going to be like what Michael Jordan was to me. You know what I mean? The best player, winning the championships left and right. And it's almost like Kansas City, like, not the football, the Chiefs, they have gotten to a point now where, like, the regular season, they know, like, they're at the point now where they know they're going to be in the playoffs. So, like, those last 4 or 5 weeks leading up to the postseason or the playoffs, it's almost like we're getting ready for
building up.
Yeah, because, like, they went 4 games, they lost all these games, everyone's freaking out. And then that first game of the postseason, it was like, all right,
they're back.
These dudes are back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's next level when you can get a team to just be like, all right, we're all about playoff mode and that's it.
Well, that's the deal with baseball. There's 162, right? So you found the last few years, whatever team can build that momentum right at the end has been the team that's had the success through the playoffs. Phillies, Braves, whoever, it's at Nationals, even
Diamondbacks
Texas.
Diamondbacks last year.
They've almost worked out a formula that makes it work, whereas you can't pace yourself in baseball, I feel like, short of maybe a couple of decisions early in the year where you give up a game to save a few guys later in the year. But as far as momentum, it's tough to maintain it throughout the course of the whole year in a full baseball season.
That's like we talk about with the consistency. It's baseball, consistency is everything. You know, we always talk about like those couple days where stuff's not going right. Like, how do you get through those days or whatnot? And it's like, dude, I just know if I do my routine and I prepare the same way every day and I hold myself up to a standard of how I need to prepare every day, and I do that, I'm just going to trust in my abilities in the game. And if it doesn't happen this night, it's going to happen tomorrow. If it doesn't happen tomorrow, it's going to happen at some point. Baseball is such a long-term process that the day-to-day results is easy to swage you one way or another. But, I mean, so it was either your first year or your second year. You had the first month, you started off a little slow.
Both years.
And then you took off. So, like, at the end of that year, you had to sit there and tell yourself, damn, like, I feel like April and like midway through May, I wasn't even doing anything, and I still finished with 30, 40 homers, whatever it is. That like slows everything down, and you realize, dude, I got a lot of time. Like we were talking about earlier, it's about when you're good, you need to be good for a long time. If you're going to be bad, it's bad for a long time. And that's kind of how you decide your season in baseball. But how do you, so like growing up now in Texas, going through all this stuff, the perfect game and all that type of stuff, we always talk about how it's real individualized. So like being a team guy, like where'd that come from? Is that from, you know, you're a baseball family, your dad and all that, where'd that come from?
Yeah, I think that was just instilled in me at a young age. It's just something that I just loved winning so much. I hated losing more than I think loved winning. So it just kind of, at a young age, I was like, I didn't want to lose at anything. Like whether it's playing ping pong against my dad or whoever, or just doing something and whatever it is. So I think it happened at a young age. And then just those things kind of coming up, there's so many summer showcases, all that. And just it started kind of with high school baseball. When I got to high school, I was like, my ultimate goal, I want to win a state championship. We never won a state championship in or at my high school. So it's like a big thing in Texas. And so for me, that was pretty easy just for high school baseball. But then the showcase stuff too is like, all right, I want to try to win every event, like every game I want to play. And I want to win whether it's the Under Armour All-American game, the Perfect Game All-American game, I want to win those games. So it just makes it even more special. But then also those Perfect Game tournaments, the showcases, I feel like whenever it comes down to the team aspect, a lot of guys get carried away with like the me, I stuff, mm-hmm. where it says, if you just go out there and play the game for the guy in front of you or the guy behind you, I feel like you even play better. You just kind of, it comes up to that standard. And I feel like that's just always was who I am. And just my dad taught me how to play the game. I was lucky enough, I always call him my cheat sheet. He played 16 years in the big league. So I was just super blessed growing up with that, having him there for me and being able to just build off him and just know that he was always told me just work hard, stay humble and be yourself and go out there and enjoy the game. And so I don't really know if that answers the question of the Definitely. Team aspect of it, but yeah. He just always kind of, I feel like just with that, and I have three older sisters too, and they always push me to don't be that selfish kid, because they saw it with the guys they grew up with and stuff. And so I just wanted to go out there and enjoy it and while it lasts.
Talk more about that cheat sheet, because now with my son, I'm like, how do I coach him? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be hard on him, but when we're going home or we're getting ice cream after the game, I want to be cool. Like, mm-hmm. So how's that? You know what I mean? I'm sure you still rely on a lot of stuff with your dad, and that's got to be the coolest thing out there.
Yeah, he was always hard on me growing up, and I think that was huge for me, just because he wanted me to succeed. It wasn't like the physical errors. It wasn't that stuff that he would harp on me about. It was more so the mental errors, because he knew I'm better than, still to this day, I call him after every game I play, every spring training game, whatever it is, every game. We kind of go over the game, talk about the game. And then after that, we get over it. And I kind of had to get on him a little bit last year, because he was getting on to me. And I'm like, Dad, I know we're losing a lot of games. I know I'm trying. Like, I know I'm making mistakes in this. So we just got to figure out a way to just learn about it, move on. And so I think that's the biggest thing. It's just like, how can you transfer just the time you're at the field and then go back into being yourself? Because I put it as, all right, when I'm off the field, I'm Bobby. Be Bobby, be the best son, be the best now fiance I possibly can be the best friend. And then when I get to the field, I'm Junior, kind of like that Superman approach or whatever you call it. So I do that. But then that's also the way I talk with my dad, having him. He'd always, like, growing up, he pushed me each and every day. But he would always kind of, there was times too where it's like, got on me on the bad things. But then there's times like, all right, where's the positive in everything? Because there's always some type of positive. Because I feel like if you're failing, you're learning in any way. So that's kind of how he helped me. But definitely always hard on me. Even my mom too. She's hard on me, because she watched. She's probably seen more baseball than everyone in this room combined. Just because going to all my dad's games, my games growing up, and then just watching now. I have three older sisters, all married baseball players, so they all played. And so just watching so much baseball, she'll get more so onto the umpires and stuff, which is funny. She'll yell at him. She's the one mom that's in the stands and 15U baseball that's yelling, that's not a strike. It's not a strike. And we know that. But then she's the one that's going to yell at someone. But it's been great just being able to have the family that I have, just huge baseball family. So like I said, the three brother-in-laws, my mom or my dad told my mom to tell my sisters never date, never marry a baseball player. And here we are. They're all married to baseball players. And so we got a good baseball family.
You said something really interesting as I'm hearing. A lot of times we hear about the thing that ruins a lot of youth sports are the parents. A lot of yelling at the umpires, yelling at their kids, and then it destroys their relationships, and kids grow up with resentment. They quit the sport because they don't love it. but their parents want to push them to do it. But you said something in there that I want to talk a little bit more about. It sounded like you got to a point to where you're able to set boundaries and tell mom and dad, hey, this conversation helps me. This conversation doesn't help me. How did you get to that point to where you could express to them, hey, this conversation helps and this doesn't?
Yeah, well, that conversation happened kind of last year, so it took me a while to get to that conversation. I was always so kind of either nervous or scared to tell that to my parents, but it was just one of those things where it's like, all right, it's like, yeah, I understand all the negatives that happens in baseball. We're losing a lot of games. I may not be playing well, and then I'm getting this on from my parent or from my dad or whatever it is. And so it's just like, how can we figure these things out? And so that was like a tough conversation just with me and my dad because we're so close. And it got to me where it's like, I know he's trying to help me. He wants the best for me. I want the best for myself. But there's ways where I just need that positivity because that drives you so much if you can just take days positive, add them on. Because, you know, in this game, once you're done playing, it's over. Like, you still got your platform and everything. So you got to make the most of each and every day. And so you got to really just kind of make those positives, keep adding them up as much as you can. Because that's something that I do after every game is like write down my three gratitudes and three wins each and every day, whether we have a game or not, just to know that this, hopefully the sun rises tomorrow and have a new day, but you had a great day today and just enjoy it.
Where did that come from?
I was just going to ask that. I was like,
I've never in my life heard someone of your age. I've got three daughters, the oldest one being 23. So I've been around your generation a lot and I've not heard someone speak so fluently and beautifully about capturing the daily moments. Like, that was impressive. What taught you? Who taught you that?
It just kind of was always.
I had a list of three bars he was going through after every game. That was the only list he was making.
It was just always something that I wanted to kind of get better at, is just the mental side of the game, mental performance and everything. That's huge, you know, how it is in baseball, because it's a grind for sure. And so in high school, we had a guy, Brian Kane, who kind of came to our high school, helped us with mental performance and everything, and then kind of hit it off with him. And that's kind of the thing I learned with him, just kind of taking a daily performance journal, doing it before the game. That's kind of like, I do it before I put my uniform on, start the day, and then right after the game or whatever it is, finish up the journal of all the stuff I need to write down. And that was just something that was always, because you're always going to have bad days, but how can you take those three positive, whether it's the gratitude is that your family's good and healthy, the sun came out, or whatever it is, just little things. And so just trying to take the little positives, because we're in this situation, we're financially stable, we're doing great, but we still get so upset. And so how can we like monitor that and just make sure we stay where our feet are? And that's the biggest thing, is me just not worrying about tomorrow, not worrying about what happened yesterday, is just being where my feet are today. And so that's something that also our manager, Matt Quattraro, talked about, was just having that today mentality. Like, and that was kind of probably 3/4 away last year in the season. Like, all right, well, here's our record. It's not good. Here we are. All right, let's worry about today. How can we be the best Kansas City Royals today? How can I be the best Bobby Witt Jr. today to help our team? We got shirts made up that said today. And so that was something that we kind of rode with. And that's just something that has always stuck with me, because like, I've been so fortunate and blessed my whole life with growing up, being able to go to all the perfect game events, being able to fly to places, do things, vacation. So it's like, all right, I'm gonna try to make the most of each and every day as I go, because I've been so blessed in this life. There's no reason why I should have a bad day, really.
It's impressive, man. So I know there's not a lot of young guys that really take the mental side that serious, but at the same time have that much appreciation that you have for it. For me, the mental side, anybody I've ever talked to, trust is everything, right? Trust. And Sua says it all the time. The best that are good at that role, that mental process coach, it sounds like they just get it out of you. They just listen and you kind of tell your own story. You kind of verbalize everything instead of them coming up to you saying stuff like that. So this has got to be hitting home for you.
What I love in particular, just want to highlight what you said, what I love is just, so the brain is wired. It's really interesting how the brain is wired. If you want better answers, ask yourself better questions. When a guy is scuffling, the question they're going to ask is, why do I suck? Why do I always do this? Why am I so bad? Why? And it tends to be negative. When you ask yourself those questions, your brain is going to go and give evidence to find support to those answers. But what you do, which I think so many people could do, I don't care if you play baseball or what, if you want better answers, ask yourself better questions. What am I grateful for? What did I do well today? What's the positive in today? When you start asking yourself those questions and start doing it consistently every single day, your brain does something amazing. It starts scanning the environment because it knows you're going to write those questions to answer those answers down. It knows you're going to ask yourself. So it's already scanning your environment, looking for those answers to be able to balance out the bad and the good. We have the negativity bias. We're going to be negative, and we're going. And what I love about parents is they love you more than anyone, and they want. And so a lot of times parents can be hard sometimes, not because they're trying to hurt us, but they want to bring the best out of us. But I love that exercise. That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. It's been huge for me. And just like I said, the biggest thing too for me is just control what I can control. And so it comes down to, like, did you have a quality at bat? You can control that, but you can't really control the outcome. And so that's another part of my process that I do is all the preparation work. Am I prepared each and every day? And just going to control what I control and just play to my best ability and go out there and have fun.
We're just talking about how at 23 I got my nipples pierced. So we're on the same trajectory with our careers. So both, yeah, excellent. Yeah, both of them. Yeah, just in case you're wondering. Yeah.
So we guys like him in the clubhouse, right? Guys keeping it loose. Him. Guys that they keep that culture, you know, loose but locked in. Give me some of the, and we never do this, but since it's Kansas City and that's my squad now. Like what? What does it look like in the clubhouse? I know Vinny's a funny guy.
Oh, yeah.
Funny story about Vinny. When I got traded over to Boston and played you guys, my luggage got caught, like delayed, didn't get my suitcases, didn't get any of my gear, nothing. So Vinny had to send an extra glove over.
And I remember here, because I was lockers next to him. I was like, what are you doing with that glove? I was like, I think Haas lost his glove or something. Yeah. I was like, no way. That's crazy.
How about that? He's definitely a character.
Personality.
Like, I'd imagine you got Salvi's the OG. Like Salvi's in his corner. Salvi's ready to go. He puts that uniform on, that protection gear, and goes out to the bullpen. Like you see him walk out, it's time to go, you know. But how about, give me the aspect of the clubhouse, like just everybody else. How was that?
Yeah, it's been, well, the past 3 years, I think the only, so 2 years ago I make my debut, and it's from that roster. It's me, Salvi, Kyle Isbell, Brady Singer. Those are the four guys that are,
I would think it was a lot more. That's
opening
crazy.
Day. That wow. really, and then Chris Bubich was there, and then so it's kind of crazy that there's only really from then. That's only 2 years ago. So I've seen the clubhouse change quite a bit, and so those guys that have kind of stuck around with like you said, Vinny, MJ, Melendez. He's got that loud sense of humor.
But I just love his swing, dude. Yeah. He's so open and just coils up and
crazy pop. Just, but then like so, it's just I'm just seeing all the changes and stuff. So it's really right now, it's nothing. Nothing's really set in stone because I feel like the first few years, everyone was kind of coming up and down. Like no one wanted to step on anyone's toes. Everyone's trying to figure out the big leagues. And so it's like, it's just kind of Salvi there in this corner, like you said. And then, but it was funny because the locker that I've been in, it was me, Benintendi, Witt, Merrifield, and those guys were all in that corner. Doge, Nicky Lopez. And like every time, Michael A. Taylor was actually next to me. So like everyone who's been around me has been traded. So like no one really wants to be by me anymore in the locker room. So it's been pretty funny through that, pretty much either traded or DFA'd. So it's been, everyone's trying to stay away from me. But yeah, but like I said, the
you locker. You've been there for a while. It's going to be some avoid.
Yeah, so many changes and stuff. Corner, but now it's got Gordo's locker, which is pretty cool.
Which corner? Right now? Yeah. Gordo's locker? Yeah, okay, nice.
Dude, there's so many cool nights after games where we'd all just be, wheel our chairs over there. Just talk about life, talk about the game, all that. And that's what made it so much, easier, but it's not easy. But like, we were taking this battle on with 25 other guys and truly we're taking it all on together. Like, he was in the bullpen. I knew his battles and what he was going through every day. And the position players like grouped up and like, we were the position players. Like, we'd go dinner, hang out after on the field. So that was what was so special about our group was like, dude, we took that challenge on together. And that's what, you know, the stuff that you're going to do naturally, but guys are going to gravitate towards you. And then when those guys do pull up the chairs at the locker after the game, take the time, man, sit there, talk about the game, point out the stuff that you're going to journal, talk about it amongst those guys.
Yeah, decompress. That's something too that we've tried to start to get going because we didn't really know the guys that were going to be there for long term. But now we're kind of starting to figure out our team, our family. And so it's pretty cool just to see that a lot of guys are starting to do that. Cause those are the best times you have after those games, just talking about the game, going over that's even to my dad. That's something that's pretty much I feel like now in today's world, it's starting to change a little bit because you look, you come into even a major league locker room or whatever, after a game, after a loss, everyone's just on their phone. It's like, all right, guys, let's see what we could have done to maybe win this game, or talk about what went wrong that we can fix. And so I think that just comes from maturing. And I think with just having such a young team, I think now guys are starting to figure that out. Like, you can't just show up to the yard, play the game, and expect four hits every night and expect to win tonight, win tomorrow. So it's really like, how can we come together as one, all pull on the same string and go up, like you said, go to battle together. And I think that we're definitely starting to trend in that direction, which is going to be a lot of fun, which makes me very excited.
Makes me fired up.
Have you been a leader from a young age? Have you felt yourself leading from a young age? Or
I've always been like a shy, quiet guy. I'm more lead by example. So, but now I'm trying to start to be able to kind of talk vocally and just help out guys. I just want to be like I said, the best teammate I possibly can be, because, you know, this game, like, no one's going to really, you'll remember some stats behind the baseball card, but they're going to remember you, your teammates as how great of a teammate you are. Cause that's how, you know, Mike Sweeney, just how he is, like, just one of those dudes. He walks in the room and you're like, wow, the sun's shining in here. And so it's something.
He says, brothers don't shake hands, brothers hug. Yeah,
he's the man.
And
so
you
it's
just
like,
grip him so tight.
And he was on some winning teams too. And so it's just, how can we get that feeling, that vibe back to Kansas City?
What I love about what he's saying right now and what I love about everything that's happening is you lead the way you lead. You're not trying to be the guy in the front of the bus that gets on the microphone and say, hey, come back here and sing or do this. You just do it. You're a respectable guy. But at the same time, you want the most out of your teammates, and you want to bring these guys to a level where they're getting the most out of themselves to help you win a game. So I love that. And what I want you to know, and continue to have the respect you do, but if I were to even get back, say I was still playing and I got traded back to Kansas City, when I'm walking in that locker room, it is Salvador Perez and it is your locker room. Like, you are the guy, and you don't have to go out and do all this vocal stuff. If that's not you, that's not you. But like, the knowledge you're spreading right now of how you write down the three positives, the three negatives at the end of the game, start just observing guys, man. And hey, come to my locker after the game. Next thing you know, there's three, four guys, five, six. Next thing you know, you guys are there and they have this process. So like, the way you're leading is money. Like, keep that same approach and don't think you have to do more than you have to do. So like I said, man, I'm like a new like Royals fan now, and this is the first time I'm really getting to know you, but dude, I'm fired up, man. And the way that you're talking about leading is, I mean, I know I keep telling you, you gotta love this.
I love about it too is it's cool to be in a club out in a dugout or in a clubhouse when you're playing another team, you see a guy go and hug a teammate from the other side, and then you're in the dugout, hey, how do you know that guy? And the one thing that players talk about is their character. Like, oh, that guy's great. They don't talk about his ability to play or how hard. It's the type of human that guy is, and that's the kind of stuff that really affects clubhouses. I think that's such a good point.
Even, you know, Pat, Jake, Tyler, Davy, they're all those guys.
Like, I was gonna say today, like, I was kind of telling everyone I'm coming to see you and everything, and everyone just right when I say your name, they just smile like, no way, awesome, tell them I said hello.
Yeah,
so it's just,
man,
it's just the person you were and left that example for.
Dude,
guys,
come
up, so.
Every time I see KU basketball on the TV, I just think of Pat. Yeah. If they lose, I'm like, Pat is so miserable right now. He does not like what's going on. You're Houston or Dallas?
Dallas, Fort Worth, yeah.
So that's like a 5-hour drive, or is that
pretty
close, right?
Yeah, it's like 6.5 hours, I think. I just drive home, so yeah, like 6.5 hour drive home.
That's got to be nice to be close to home, like, especially on days that get grueling in the summer. Like, to be able to have like a day game, then an off day the next day. Do you find yourself loving to like just go back home and kind of refresh, recheck in, or recharge?
Yeah, I haven't done that. Just kind of afraid of like if flights or whatever, something happens.
Yeah,
driving. But yeah, just being able to just know that my parents are right there, my sisters are right there, my family's right there. They're an hour flight away. They can just jump on a flight in the morning, be there, whatever it is. It's just pretty, really comforting. And then my grandfather lives in Oklahoma, so it's pretty close. My mom kind of makes that trip quite a bit. She drives up to Oklahoma, stop, finishes up, comes back up to Kansas City. So it's great just to have that kind of centrally located and just being close to home. And so it's very nice.
Let me ask you one, Sua. So he talked about having his dad to go home to and talk to after every game. When I first got called up to the big leagues, I was single like most of my career. So I would just play baseball and go home and just think about baseball nonstop. So like to that young kid that is going or that is, you know, doesn't have that cheat code like we're talking about, like what do you find a new hobby? Like what's the approach there to just get baseball? Like I walk out of that clubhouse, I don't think about anything else baseball till tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it comes down to just in anything, it's finding what works best for you. Some guys eat, drink, sleep baseball, and for them, it works. But then you want to look for like little clues on, am I sleeping? Am I eating? Is it affecting my stress level? Is it affecting my ability to focus? Is it consuming me? And then in that case, then you create those boundaries. Some guys, we were talking about video games. Some guys, it's reading. Some guys, it's spiritual. Some guys, it's something. But I think a huge part of it is finding a group of people, a family members that kind of find some kind of distractions. So in addition, which made me think about your situation, a lot of times players are just surrounded by a lot of noise. There's just so much noise, and being able to quiet your mind in some way. Have you noticed an uptick in noise since you signed your contract?
I would just say just a lot more text messages. I turn off all like social media notifications and that type of stuff, so I don't really see that. I don't have the Twitter or X app. I just have to go like online. So I think that helps too. Like it's not just one click away. I'm trying to limit like phone time, screen time too. Like, and I think another big thing is me just like sleeping, like you were saying, like going home, just thinking about the game. I found that my rookie year, like I'm going home, I'm laying down, I'm like, man, I can see that 0-2 curveball I took that he hung right down the middle. Why didn't I swing at that? And it's just going over my head until I got to get back to the field and refresh. But now I feel like I'm just able to leave the field, talk to my dad, all right, get home to my fiance, back to apartment, whatever it is, I'm clean.
10 o'clock clean.
Yeah, mm-hmm. On to the next day, like right there. And so I think that's been just a huge thing for me, and then got into reading a little bit and just kind of recovery. I think that's huge because 160, I want to be able to try to play 162 plus games. I think I played 150 my rookie year, 155 last year. So it's like getting there, but I think that would just be really cool just to do that. But also it takes a lot to keep your body right, to keep your mind right, both physically, mentally. And so I think that's another huge part of it, the recovery side.
You brought up a good point about social media. Like you don't know what it's like to play in the big leagues without Twitter or X or social media. Mm-hmm. You don't know what it's like. All you've experienced is people sliding into your DMs and giving you their opinion on how you're playing, good or bad or whatever it may be. I don't know if you guys have experienced, you know what it was like to play without social media. What have you seen, like, what role has social media played for the professional athlete these days?
It's not fun if you pay attention to it a lot of the time. I mean, if things are going great, it can be a nice little build-up for you. But a lot of the times when things go bad, there's stuff on there that is atrocious. Like, it's horrendous. Early on in my career, there was no socials at all. You didn't have to deal with that at all. But when it hit, it was like a wave, and then you couldn't avoid it. It was just, yeah. I even found myself looking for bad comments at the end of a game. I don't know why, just to see what people were saying, just to maybe give me some closure as to what happened in that game. Not that it takes closure, but when you find yourself struggling in a game, sometimes it can be those comments that fire you up a little bit more to want to come back and revenge and show what you can do the next day.
Yeah, it's just how you take it, you know? Like,
you read comments all the time.
So that kind of broke me, bro. Honestly, when I was in San Diego, I wanted to live up to the contract. You know what I mean? I cared what other people were saying to a fault, to where, you know, there was times where I'd go on social media, man, and it would get me blocked up to the point where like, I can't go out there and perform the way I want to perform. I can't even go and get my work in the way I want to work in, you know? So that's where like being so advanced on your part on writing that stuff down at the end of the game, because for me, I held it within, I bottled it up, and then at some point you're just gonna burst, you know?
That's how I was my rookie season, and then like even just looking, like I found myself at times, like good or bad, just going on social media, just looking at things, what are people saying? And mm-hmm. then going in the off season, like, oh, this rookie year is a fluke, whatever, this and that. I'm like, okay, now that was, I feel like that was a good time to like, all right, take some notes, what did they, like, all right, let's prove them wrong. More so prove myself right, that I can go out there and do it again.
And even like, I feel like some people deep down, like maybe I felt like this was like, I can get everyone to like me. I'm going to make that happen. But at the end of the day, that's not reality. And I think the reality is, you know, it's going to come, right?
It's me. Yeah.
So how do we deal with it when it comes? It's like, like what you were saying, we're equipped when this happens. Once this happens, then we have our ways to deal with it, and that's how we deal with it. So that's what I'm saying, like, to spread that to the other guys, even older guys, is going to be great. But you've been dealing with this since high school. I'm sure you go to a showcase and you see on Perfect Games Twitter whatever your rating is the next day or whatnot. So, like, if you were to tell a young Jack Hosmer how to deal with this at a young age, like, do you shut it off? Do you limit it? How do you do that?
I took it almost as, like, I saw it and everything. It was almost more motivation for me. Like, all right, they got me ranked when I was a freshman, this number one player. All right, now I got to go out there and prove it. Like, it's all paper. It's people not even, maybe never even played baseball that are writing these articles about me saying that I'm the number one player. So, all right, it's all paper until it actually happens. So I got to go out there and do something. So I think it was more motivation just to be, so I can be that guy. But also I didn't want to be the guy that's all talking about it, reposting this and that. Yeah, it's great. But then also it's just those publications, it's kind of a mix of emotions to that. You can either take it and be like, all right, I'm number one player, I don't need to do anything else, or number one player, now I got to keep that and I actually maybe now be the number one draft pick or whatever it is, commit to a college, this and that. So I think there's ways you can take it, but then also ways that can make you go straight down that hole bad.
Did high school sweetheart you marry? Or?
Yeah. So I was freshman year. She's a sophomore, grade above me. She was a shortstop, softball player, stud. And so, so that's pretty much it. She played college softball at Northwestern State in Louisiana. And so she graduated 2 years ago. And now she's like a personal trainer. So she's doing that, Maggie. So she's been great. It's awesome having her, because we did long distance the first, I guess, 4 years. Whenever she was in college, I was starting pro ball. So it's kind of like one of those things. But she understood, because she played softball. She understood the game. She understood when things went good, like we're going good or we're going bad, like to give me some space or not give me space. So she's kind of been that kind of rock for me too. When coming home after a bad game, she knows that to, like, what happened tonight? She's not going to be the one. Like, my dad will be the one that says that. She knows to kind of, all right, comfort me, this, that. And so she's been great.
That's got to be,
try to make a good for you, support system. Yeah.
Like you said, you're rock, because the wives, the fiancés, even girlfriends, man, they go through it too, especially, you know, the star player. I'm sure there's some people out there that want to be her and that type of stuff. So, yeah, man, that's something that I've grown to appreciate, especially now having my son, just the strong qualities that my wife brought to the table. And I'm realizing all this now was like, stuff was done, dude. I would get home, the wash was done, everything set up, and like I took that for granted, you know what I mean? So that comes a whole nother role on herself, man. And it sounds like you guys got it in a good spot, man. So that's
For sure.
That's cool, man. And you know what too is cool is like with the wives, like everyone knows in baseball, the wives are with each other all the time too. Mm-hmm. And then the kids grow up together and all that type of stuff. So like a lot of the best teams that I've been on, the wives would have stuff lined up for the kids, activities outside there. And like, that's when it truly becomes a family, man. Like when four of you guys are after the game going to someone's birthday party, that's when it's like, we got something special going on here.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a good, great point. One of the things, I'm just kind of curious, one of the things that how we dress, what we drive, there's a lot of little signals that kind of show things that matter to us and things that don't. One of the things I always like to notice, number one, tattoos. Like, tattoos tell a story. They tell a story. And it's okay, wow. Another thing is what people wear on their wrists. And so I'm sitting here, I'm looking at your wrists, and can you talk about the wristbands in particular and just what, like, the meaning behind them?
Yeah, so this one is just as simple, because that's how I like to live my life, simple. Kind of like, I don't know if y'all got that for me. I'm trying to be as simple as possible. That's like, put it in my helmet, keep it simple, those type things. And so that's kind of my way of life. And then Sarah's Soldiers. Sarah, I don't know if you've ever met Sarah.
In Kansas City?
She has ALS. And so it's just her bracelet, the Fight for Cure. And then this one's Adriana's Angels. She passed away, I think, 3 years ago with cancer. And so just wear that, represent her. And then watch.
No, it's really cool. What I love in particular, a lot of times it's like, it just serves that little as a signal, kind of like a little nudge. And I'm curious on your simple. I really like the obviously all of them are great. They're all wonderful causes. You always hear people say, hey, keep it simple, keep it simple. But what they don't talk about a lot is the process it takes to make something simple. You can't just keep it simple, because then that's just simplistic and you miss all the nuances and complexity. But talk to me about your process in order to keep things simple?
Yeah, it's just really first you got to trust your process and just make sure that you have a process, because some people say, oh yeah, I'm just trusting the process, but they don't have a process. They just say that to say that. So you got to have a process, a routine. And so like a lot of times I like to say, like a lot of people say too, is like rise to the occasion. I think sync to my training, sync to my process. So it's really just making sure I have a good routine, because my routine on day game, like on games and stuff, I pretty much got it to 15 minutes from when I leave the field at 1:45, I get to the field at 2 to change clothes for 5 minutes, this and that, pretty outgoing with that stuff. But I think it just makes sure that my head's on the same page each and every day. And so I'm going to the field with a new page, new book to write pretty much. And so that's how I feel like the way it makes the day simple. Hmm. And then same thing where I'm going in the cage, I'm doing my work, get my work in, I make it almost harder in the cage and stuff. So when I get out to the game, that it's simple. Same thing with defensive stuff. When I'm out there doing my drills, I want to make it harder. So then when I get to the game, it's simple. Well, it's not simple, it's the big leagues, but try to make it as simple as I can. And then so just try to make the days add up. And so really that's kind of my mantra of simple.
That's awesome.
So like mechanically, not to get too nerd and hitting wise and stuff, when you do that little like back hip thing, is that like, what's behind that? Is that like a, because to me, I know it's mechanical, but at the same time, it's like a trigger to like, all right, we're going right now. You know what I mean? That's where everything goes.
That's really kind of like my cue to go, to start kind of, it's like a lot of people do a load. Like I don't really hold my backside well. So that's something that I've kind of just was messing around in the mirror, like just looking at myself, and I did it once and I was like, oh, that kind of feels good. And that's just like my key to start.
Right.
That's like my way to hold my backside and then just go from there. So it's like my gas pedal to start the engine.
So where, because 2020 you didn't play.
Yeah, I got kind of lucked out with that, not really lucked out, but I got to come out to Kansas City for the summer camp.
Oh, the alternate.
Yeah, and then I was at the alternate site the whole year. So I was facing Daniel Lynch, Jackson Kowar, Brady Singer a couple times, Chris Bubich, like our top prospect guys. Yeah. So I got 400 at-bats that summer, really. So I kind of, not really lucked out with it, but I was probably going to go to low A or wherever. Right. And start from there. But then after that, kind of did well at that time. And we had that camp and stuff. And so it came into spring, was able to go to double A the next year. So it was kind of a good thing for me in a way.
Oh, I knew what I was. Oh, yeah. WBC. Let's talk about that. So 2013, they're training in Arizona. Mark Teixeira breaks his wrist. So they call me to come fill in for him. And there's like Joe Mauer, David Wright. I mean, it's a show squad. You know what I mean? So this year, I mean, you were there with Trout, you were there with all the big dogs. How cool was that?
It was unbelievable just to be able to experience that. Came up short, but it was just one of those things that's like, you'll remember that forever. Like I'm in the cage, it's Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, Nolan Arenado, and they're talking to our hitting coach, King Griffey Jr. And it's like, I wish everyone could be fly on the wall what they're talking about. I'm just there. Like I felt like a rookie again. Just, I was like, try to be everywhere at every time just to hear people talk, just to hear Arenado and Goldschmidt talk. I'm in between them just to hear how they talk. Trey Turner hitting and this type of stuff. And just, we had Michael Young on staff, Mark DeRosa, all that. And then just the pitching staff. And it was like an all-star game for a month or however long it was. And I was just able to be there and just kind of be that if they needed some speed on the base pass or something, whatever it is, take it all in. And so I soaked it all in for sure. And so it was one of those, like I said, that experience, not only just, it shows you why those guys are all-stars each and every day or each and every year, just how they work, not only in game, but before the hand, how they process the game, how they're looking over pitchers, how they're just talking as a team. Like they're talking about a guy that they're facing in 2 days, the games haven't even started. They're like, all right, what's your approach against this guy? I'm like, dang, this is awesome.
That was my favorite part last couple of years of my career was going to some different teams and some of the guys I've admired from afar, you know, Bogarts, Rafi, Devers, getting to see their process and what their day-to-day was like and their work in the cage. It's just like you have a whole new level of respect for those guys because like they make it look so easy on the field and you just think they show up and do it. And then you see the work going into it, the adjustments being made, and it's impressive stuff, man.
I do owe my whole career to the WBC. Is that something that you're going to continue to play in?
Yeah, if I get the opportunity, for sure. Just being able to, I got to play for an 18U, the USA team. We won gold. And so being able to represent USA. And then now that last year, getting silver, like now I want to get a gold medal in that for sure, just because of
just seeing it right now. Yeah. You're welcome.
Look at that.
Sorry, yeah. You're welcome, boys. Yeah. Yeah, we got him in there. You're going to be hitting three holes, so be ready to roll.
That'd be cool. So as we hear your story, as people talk about you, I mean, obviously, it seems like you were a winner since the moment you were able to walk. Just a lot of success on the field, off the field. Someone might be watching and listening to your story, and they're like, that guy has never gone through anything hard. What does he know about adversity? What does he know about turbulence in life? What does he know about struggle? What has been a moment in your baseball career where you did struggle?
I would say just kind of throughout it all, like anytime I struggled in high school, like what I need to do, just trying to make those struggles like not really like a roller coaster, just kind of like bumps in the road. And so first year in the minor leagues, struggled a little bit in the AZL. I don't even know what the stats were. And then going to my first full season after COVID, first week, I didn't have a hit. So it's like that we played the six games, have an off day. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? This is like now professional baseball. Am I good enough for this? Like a couple days later, a couple hits.
That hit your head first week of the season?
Well, just one of those things like, oh my gosh, these guys are good. Yeah, and then I get a couple hits and then this start having more success. And I'm like, all right, I'm good. I'm here, like whatever. And then the next year happens, make the team out of camp. And I put all the pressure in the world on myself. And I'm like, all right, Royals weren't great last year. I'm supposed to be this number one prospect. I got to go help the team change some things. I come out first month, not a great month, this and that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And then go about it. All right, I just got to be myself, go out there. And then things started escalating. And then come back to this year, same thing. All right, we lost a lot of games last year. I got to be better. I'm supposed to be this guy, the face of the franchise, whatever it is. And so what can I do? Come out, put so much pressure on myself, fail. Go back, all right, what am I doing? I go be Bobby, just go out there, play the game, be Junior, and then success starts having. So it's not really the adversity, there's failure and everything, but it's those things where it's just like, I just gotta trust myself and not put the pressure all on myself. I gotta go out there, this is a team game. Trust my teammates, trust everyone else, just because they're doing the work too, and just go out there and play the game. So I think that was the biggest thing. And so now, last year, we lose a lot of games. I come into this year, I'm like, all right, gotta be Bobby, try to go out there and help the team as much as you can, but just do your job, do your part, pull for your teammates, root for them, be there for them if they need you. And just, like I said, kind of just trust everything you do, control what you can control, and then just take it day by day. Whatever happens, happens.
What was the year, I don't know if you mentioned this or not, but the year that there was a lot of hype of you maybe making the team and didn't make the team?
Yeah.
Was that what you were talking about?
That was 2021. So that was like kind of my first full season. And so like everyone, like I go in there, I can remember this. I was in the cage, I get called into the office, and like the guys are getting me fist bumps going out. Like they're like thinking I made the team. Like, and I come out and I get told like, oh, you're going back down to minor league camp. I knew it was going to happen at some point, but I was having a good spring. Like I was like, oh, I never know, whatever might happen. Playing second base, like moving around, like doing things I've never done before. And then, so I come back and they're still like, oh, what happened? I'm going down to minor league camp or whatever. And they're like, no way. So that was like one of those moments where like, man, that was like my first time. And like you said, like never been through adversity. First time I've ever got like sent down from something. So it was like, how can I take this? And then we have another little like alternate site thing that happens right when the big league camp breaks that year in 2021. And I go to that, and it's in, I think, Omaha, where the AAA and everything. Yeah. And we're like doing that. And then like I'm struggling there because I'm kind of just thinking about it. But I'm like, all right, whatever. Like it was pretty much the whole AAA team. I was like, all right, starting AAA, maybe kind of work my way. And then they're like, all right, you're going to go to Arkansas. So I'm starting in AA. So I was noticing, like, man, like what else more do I need to do? And then that goes back to like all me trying to do more again. I get out to AA, don't have success the first few weeks or whatever it is. And then I'm like, all right, I have a great conversation with our hitting coach. And just, it was like probably a call to like 2 a.m. one night, and just kind of talk to him. Just, what am I like? What do you need to do? Just be yourself. Trust everything you do. You're here for a reason. They drafted you in the first round for a reason. You're in AA right now for a reason. You're 20 years old. Like, just go out there and be you. And then at that point, it kind of just flicked. Like, had a good first half, got second half, got called up to AAA, had a great second half in AAA, and then next year made the big league team. And so kind of was like one of those things where it's like, all right, you're going up. All right, a little bit back down, going up, a little bit down. But now I'm trying to figure out how can I just keep going forward. And so I feel like I'm in a good spot where mentally, physically, I can just kind of go out there and play the game.
So yeah, that little gut punch was good for you. Like baseball gets you to that point to where it's going to make you be vulnerable, right? And then you reached out to this coach in Double A and he kind of checks you back in and resets everything and resets perspective, all that. And then it's go time from there. And that's something that you look back on and you're like, all right, that little month, 2 month stretch, that got me, like, I understood what happened. I got right from it. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to go back to that place. We're good. But it's crazy. It's so crazy how everyone's path is so different, because my first big league camp was 2010 and I had no like thought of making the team. I was planning to go to High A to start the year and then Double A. So I'm just there kind of hanging, like just trying to stay up there as long as possible. I end up having, you know, a pretty good couple weeks or whatnot. And when Ned called me in the office to cut me, he was like, all right, son, I'm going to tell you this right now. This is going to be the last time I ever cut you from spring training. And for me, I was like,
wow.
Oh, shit. Like, you think I'm ready to, like, I'm on the radar. You know what I mean? And it, like, locked me in a different way to where that year, like, I was so focused and locked in on everything I was doing process-wise, routine-wise. So it is wild, man. It's wild how, like, everyone just has it different, you know? Like, that... Moose actually had a spring training where it was the same way. He just got off a AAA, AA season of hitting like 40. So he's thinking, man, I just hit 40 last year. I'm balling in spring this year and I get sent down for other reasons, not performance. And it got you in AAA being like, dude, what the hell's going on here? You know what I mean? So that's cool that you use that as like a little like, all right, I remember that little gut punch, but we're not going back to that place.
Yeah, no doubt. I think too, I'd look at it as like you either learn or win, and the learning's the failure. You learn from failure, or then the success happens.
I love that. I heard that the other day.
One of my pet peeves, okay, there's a lot of, one of my phrases I hate, and I mean, I'm pretty empathetic about, so you hear that phrase, sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. I can't stand that phrase. The reason is because what it suggests is that you can't learn from winning. Hmm. I think sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, you learn from both. Because after you win, a lot of times we just, all right, have beer, okay, let's go. And we never pause to say, okay, what did I do to get me lead to success? Leaves clues. It's only when we're scuffling, when we, after a loss, we're like, okay, let's go back to see, let's learn from failure. Wait, let's learn from success as well. So I really get fired up just talking about that. You win, sometimes you lose, you learn from both.
Rather than reacting to what's happened and try to fix it, preempt what's gonna happen by planning it out and thinking a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Speaking of winners, George still going around there?
Oh yeah, he's out there every day just loving it. He's enjoying it. Man, getting his golf in too, nice and tan, so he loves it.
Oh yeah. Just always looks good, he's tan.
He's one too, he'll shoot you straight. Whether you're winning, you're losing, he'll tell you if you're doing it the right way or the wrong way.
Has he ever told you something you're doing the right way or the wrong way?
Oh yeah, I remember it was my first spring training and I took three fastballs, strike three, just didn't even swing. Like, I don't know really what was going on. Like, it happened. And then the guy hitting behind me, same thing, three fastballs, strike three. And he comes in and George is cussing up a storm. And he's like, what are you doing up there? Like, you're big leader, like, blow this and that. I'm like, I know, I don't even know what's going on. I got George Brett yelling at me. I just took three fastballs right down the middle. I'm like, all right, I need to relax, take some time.
Dude, so I signed out of high school. I go, we signed in August. We go do the signing at the stadium. I get to take BP with the team and all that. Next morning, I got like a 6:30 flight to Idaho. I'm going to play rookie ball, doing all that stuff. So I was a heavy sleeper back then, dude. I would, you know, needed to sleep till about noon to be fully charged and ready. So I get to the airport, get to the plane. I get in my seat and I'm kind of like laying like this. And it's like two people in the seat, two seats. So the girl next to me is in the aisle and I'm on the window and I just hear like, right in the chest, and I'm like, and it's George Brett right there, and he asks her, he's like, hey, I'm in 15B, you mind switch with me, and like gives her the ticket. So he just sits down and he's like, you ready to go, kid? And I just like perk up immediately, and we talked the whole time, hour and a half flight, whatever it was, the whole entire time. And I was asking him questions after questions. But what's so cool, like we talk about with the Kansas City, the family feel, is looking back now, being newly retired, George came in 13 and was the hitting coach from May on. George Brett is living a fantastic life. I mean, what does he want to come and be the hitting coach of the Kansas City Royals for? But he just took a liking to all of us because we were at Instructs. We were in spring. We'd see him at Fan Fest. And we just had such a unique bond that it really got me thinking, especially now. I'm like, man, like, it's different over there, man, because this guy came and wanted to, like, physically help us and be there with us day to day. It's so cool, man. It's so special, dude. So yeah, that's...
It's awesome having him. Oh, he's there. Man. Mike Sweeney, Reggie Sanders, all those guys are just...
They're all still coming around.
Yeah, they're enjoying it, giving us tips, pointers. They've done it for so long, so pick their brain as long as you can, for sure.
I'm all about that when, like, the teams bring back those guys that... Like, when I was a kid watching whatever team, like, I remember this guy, this guy, this guy. And then when you're in spring training and they're floating around the locker room, there is no, like, cooler feeling than getting to talk to one of those dudes.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. That was like me with you, watching you. No.
I gave him shit one time, dude, when in Boston. Remember, I was like, so Moose with me, Moose reached out to me. It was, like, one of the first. August, like, 5th was the deadline, and it was, like, August 5th at, like, 10 o'clock at night, and Moose was on a bus in Lowe, and he reaches out to me, and I guess somebody within the organization tried to be like, hey, tell him the sign or whatnot, and Moose goes, hey, kid, whatever the hell you do is up to you. I just want to wish you the best of luck, and if you ever need anything or need any advice, just hit me up. And I'm like, man, like, that was awesome. So, like, I made it a point to reach out to all the guys that were drafted or whatnot. So I told Bobby one time, I was like, hey, man, I sent you a message on Twitter. You never wrote me back, bro. I'm like, you're the only guy that hadn't wrote me back. What's going on here?
Well, now you know.
Now I know he's got the notifications off.
Save yourself.
Dude, I will say this, buddy. And again, like, I'm going to take over on this one because Kansas City is near and dear to my heart. And the fact that you're there, you're going to be a Royal, probably your whole career, a good chance for, you know, the next long while or whatnot. Keep doing everything the same way you're doing, man. It was so cool to get to talk to you, just to hear your process, hear how you're going to lead. And those fans are going to get behind you, man. I told you, the only time they're going to get on your ass is when they think your effort isn't what it should be. So good luck to you, bro. I'm pulling for you. And if you ever need anything, you know.
Awesome. Thank you.
Great.